The following takes place between 7 and 8.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron of Florida Estates Winery. Wine enthusiasts can call us at any time during the broadcast by dialing 646-727-3235. Once again, the number is 646-727-3235. Wine industry representatives are also encouraged to join us on air.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Mike Brown, the Wine Growers Association of Georgia.
The executive director.
Michelle Meyer, I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery.
We're located at 417 Vicksburg Road, Westport, Mass., and our phone number is 508.
I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Grape Growers Association.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people on, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
Sometimes we are live. We are on time.
Yeah.
You know, last week we kind of had some issues there.
No.
Yeah. This time we are on time. So good to go here. Anyway, so it's it is 7:01, and something I was going to mention to Ron just a minute ago, and I forgot, it was our stats since November. I don't know if you've taken a look at those, but
no.
Since November of last year, which has only been six months, I guess, we've had over 7,000, almost 8,000 listeners
wow.
through archives, and we appreciate that. So
thank you, everyone out there listening.
Absolutely. And, you know, even if it is on the archives and I forgot what show it was, but maybe the week before last, I took it when you were solo. I took it.
Yeah.
I downloaded it to my phone and I listened to it on the way to work and on the way back. And it was really cool. So, there are ways to listen. And whichever way you are listening, we appreciate it. And we'd also like to hear from you. So email allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Ron gets that. And or call the winery directly at 813-996-2113. And I'm sure they'd love to hear you, if you have comments about the show, you want to get on the show, you want to, you know, if you're in the industry, you're a wine enthusiast, call us, give us a call. And, you know, we can either call you back on when the show is on, or you can call us directly here at 646-727-3235. Get on the air. And we'd love to have you. So join us. People are listening, and that's really cool. So
that is. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's good. That is good that people are listening. And we appreciate it. We really do. I mean, you know, Mike and I have fun with this, but it's always nice to know that people out there are listening to us. You know, if they're laughing at us or whatever, I don't know. but they're out there listening anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. Very good. And tonight we are moving on with our U.S. states, I believe.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Lovely state of Missouri.
Yes, very cool. And here's Ron. Yay.
Hey, thank you. Lovely state of Missouri. That's, I have to full disclosure, that's my home state. I was born and raised in Missouri, just north of Kansas City. So it is... as a place that's near and dear to me, actually. My sister's supposed to be listening tonight. If she is, hi out there, sis. I'm glad you tuned in. If you're not listening, then hey, why aren't you? We're going to talk about Missouri wines. It is amazing how many wineries are in Missouri. It's amazing just Missouri wines and everything in itself. I was surprised. I knew Missouri had a long history of vineyards and wines and stuff. They have for years and years, but I was surprised about some of the other stuff that I learned. First, like we always like to do, tell you a little bit about the state itself and the geography and everything about the state. Missouri is located in the heart of America. It is bordered by the most states of any state except one other, and that's Kentucky, and Kentucky's bordered by the same amount as Missouri is, so we can't disconnect them or else we'd both lose the state. But Missouri is located in the heart of America, bordered on the east by the Mississippi River, which forms the entire border on the east, bordered on the west by Kansas and Oklahoma and Nebraska. Those all touch it on the west side of the state. North part of the state, Iowa, covers the whole border there. And then on the other side of the Mississippi River, we have Illinois, Kentucky, and Tennessee. All three of the states touch Missouri. And then due south, Arkansas. And the little Boot Hill of Missouri, interesting little aside here, that was put in the state because a very rich person back in the 1800s, before Missouri became a state, had that land there, and they were going to make Missouri a state and just make it right straight across. And the guy who owned that land did not want to be in the state of Arkansas. He wanted to be in the state of Missouri. And because he had a lot of influence and a lot of power politically, the Senate went ahead and put that little Boot Hill down there so he can actually be in Missouri instead of in Arkansas. So that's why Missouri's got the little boot down at the bottom of the state. It is 8 counties. There's a total of, this usually tells me how many counties. And for some reason, this little map today is not telling me how many counties are in the state of Missouri. There it is, 115 counties in Missouri. It is rather hilly in the south, flatland up in the north, a lot of growing of corns and vegetables, corns and wheat in the northern part of the state. Missouri River is basically the dividing line between the north and south part of the state. Below the Missouri River, which bisects the state, is more the hills. That's where you're starting to get the Ozark Hills, a more hilly country. In the north part, it's much flatter, basically. 115 counties in the state, spread out all over all sorts of shapes and sizes and everything. St. Louis City is separate from St. Louis County. Jackson County, Missouri, is the home of Kansas City, Missouri. The border of the Missouri River actually divides up the counties a lot, so you have a lot of odd-shaped and strange-shaped counties throughout the state. A lot of the counties in the state are named after political figures in the state over the years. That's where you get most of the names, although there are some that are named after the areas. Cape Girardeau County is down by Cape Girardeau. Mississippi County is right down in the southern part of the state. New Madrid, one of the biggest earthquakes ever to hit the country, the New Madrid Fault in southern Missouri, southeastern Missouri county down there. So there's a big variety of counties with a lot of names. Major highways through Missouri, I-29 comes out of north, coming actually down from Nebraska on the western side of the state, and it runs right on down into Kansas City. I-35 goes directly from Kansas City up to Des Moines, Iowa, straight north of us. I-70 runs across the state. That connects Kansas City and St. Louis. I-44 goes out of St. Louis southwest to Springfield and Joplin, and it comes on over into Oklahoma. And then straight south of St. Louis, I-55, and it runs pretty close to the Mississippi River on down into Arkansas in that direction. I've taken I-55 up from here, heading back up to Kansas City, and then across I-70. It's a scenic route. Flooding in the southeastern part of the state. You may have seen the big controversy with the levee being broke on the Mississippi River and the flooding of thousands of acres of farmland. The Missourians aren't real thrilled about that. I talked to a couple of three people today, and they all had a little bad taste in their mouth about the flooding there. The elevation in Missouri. Along the Mississippi River and over on the eastern part of the state, you have a little bit lower elevation. And then down in the foothills, or in the Boot Hill of Missouri, a little bit higher elevation. Then across the Ozarks and all that, it jumps up. Northern and western part of Missouri, reasonably low and flat. Highest point in Missouri is Taum Sauk Mountain, Taumsauk Mountain, at 1,772 feet. It is located in the Ozarks. And the lowest point is the St. Francis River at only 230 feet above sea level, which, you know, really reasonably low. Rivers, lots of rivers running through Missouri. Main rivers, Missouri River runs from the west down border, cuts across the state of Kansas City, and ends up just north of St. Louis, joining in the Mississippi. The Ozark River, which is home of Lake of the Ozarks and the Harry Truman Reservoir, is just south of the Missouri River and runs into the Missouri River. Table Rock Dam in the southern part of the state, and Bull Shoals Lake and Table Rock Lake down there. A lot of other rivers, smaller rivers, but Missouri's got quite a few rivers running around through the state. The vineyards in Missouri. There are vineyards all over Missouri. I'm just amazed about the number of wineries and vineyards that are located throughout the state of Missouri. It's a old history in Missouri. The history of Missouri dates back to way before Prohibition. The Missouri wine year started around 1837. This was German settlers came out of their homeland and settled in Missouri on the banks of the Missouri River at Herman, just outside of St. Louis, that area there. The climate, the soil, the hills in that area remind them a lot of their homeland, the home country of Germany, and so they chose that to make it their home and started to plant vineyards there. A rocky area, so it worked well for growing wine grapes. A decade later, from 1837 to late 1840s, they were producing more than 10,000 gallons of wine a year, a tremendous amount. And by the 1880s, there were more than 60 wineries around the town of Herman, with the wine being shipped all around America and also into Europe, producing over 2 million gallons of wine a year being shipped around the world. By the 1870s, Phylloxera was destroying grapevines in France. And Missouri, well, actually, the websites I listened to and the websites I read about Missouri said Missouri came rushing to their aid, and Missouri grapevines helped save the French wine industry. You go down to Texas and you talk to Texans, and they'll tell you the Texans helped save the French wine industry. And you talk to Kentuckians, and the Kentuckians will say the Kentucky helped save the French wine industry. And just about everybody you talk to says that they were the ones that helped save the French wine industry. Actually, rootstock came from all over the Midwest. Missouri takes a lot of credit for it because a lot of it was from that area because they had so many grapevines, but the grapevines were from all over. So sorry, Missouri, you did have a big play in it, but not exclusive. In the late 1800s, Italian immigrants established some vineyards around St. James area of Missouri, which is southwest of St. Louis area, and the wine industry shot through the roof. By the late 1800s on into the turn of the century, there were over 100 wineries throughout the state of Missouri. A lot of them. It became a great growing area, and it had been shipped around the world, winning awards and all sorts of stuff. 1919, Prohibition. It was just like, you know, chopped off the head of the beast. It stopped Missouri wine industry, just cold in their tracks. Even though it was repealed 13 years later, it did a major number on Missouri wine industry and the growing and everything else. The after effects of Prohibition continued on, lingered around for decades. It increased liquor taxes, licensing fees jumped to the roof, and it was devastating, as it was through most of this country. I teach a class once a month at the winery, and one of the things I always like to bring up to the students is there are three P's that have done more to change wine and wine grape growing and winemaking in this country than anything else. And it's not profit, because everybody always guesses profit. And Prohibition is the one that nobody ever guesses, but Prohibition probably is the biggest single factor of affecting wine in this country, and still does. After the laws were all said and done, it still does. 1960s, 1970s, Missouri wine started to show a little bit of rebound, a little bit of rebirth, a restoration of several of the original wineries were happening. They were taking the old buildings that were left for decay and refurbishing them and getting back to their former stature and slowly starting to change the culture and regulatory environment for wines at that time also. 1980s, a new tax on wine established the Missouri Wine and Grape Program. And I talked to a lovely girl, Elaine, that's her name. I talked to Elaine, who is the winemaker and daughter of the founders of St. Genevieve Winery. And she said the Missouri Wine and Grape Program is just a phenomenal thing. I always ask people, how does the state treat you? Good, bad, indifferent, or what? And she had nothing but praises for Missouri and the Missouri governing bodies and the wine boards and all that. She said it's been phenomenal. In the 1980s, they started to charge a small amount extra for every bottle of wine sold in the state. And a small amount, a couple of cents here, a couple of cents there. When you start adding that up to the number of bottles of wine sold, it adds up. Part of that money goes into the Missouri Wine and Grape Program. Part of it goes into the running of the program and paying the people who handle it. But state viticulturists were hired to assist in the restoration process, and Missouri State University's Fruit Experiment Station began working with winemakers to determine the grape varieties that would be suitable for the Missouri climate. So it became a very good organization. I will get a little bit more into this organization here in a little bit. I mean, this is a phenomenal organization. I mean, every state in the nation, in my opinion, needs to take a page out of Missouri's wine and grape program and see if they can't implement it themselves. I say very jealously because Florida has such poor programs when it comes to helping the wineries. And you hear me, legislature? You hear me, Ned Governor Scott? but the wine and grape program, a little bit of money here and there. She said, Elaine also told me that just like most other states, when that was established and if the state started to run low on money, they would look to this program to dip money out of it. She said about 4 or 5 years ago, it was a law was passed that they can't. They have to leave that money alone. This is for the Missouri Wine and Grape programs, and that's all it's for. And she said it's been phenomenal. That was established in the 80s, mid-early 80s. And then AVAs. I'll get more into the AVAs, but Augusta AVA became the first federally recognized American viticulture area in 1980. I'll talk more about the AVAs for Missouri in a minute here, but the first one in this country was established in Missouri. In 2000, the wine industry in Missouri started to increase, started to just really explode. Elaine said that there were seeing new ones pop up almost a monthly for a while there. And it was, they were coming out with a lot of different stuff. Excuse me. And the stuff they were coming out with were winning awards, not just within the state, not just in the country, but international competitions. Missouri wines were being recognized everywhere. 2003, the Missouri legislature officially made the Norton Cynthiana variety grape the state grape. I don't know if every state has a state grape, but it sounds like a pretty cool thing to have. So they made the Cynthiana Norton the state grape. Again, we've talked about this before. You go to Arkansas and they call it Cynthiana. You cross the border and it becomes Norton everywhere else. In 2005, the Missouri Wine and Grape Board was formed. It wasn't. It stopped being an advisory board. The Wine and Grape Board was involved with marketing and research in Missouri wine industry, which again is a great thing. They started to look at just the wine itself, and again, I'll get into more of that. And then in 2006, the Institute for Continental Climate Viticulture and Enology is established. Big old long thing is shortened to ICCVE, which is funded by the Missouri Wine and Grape Board. They are behind that. So the Missouri has been, you know, a long history of wine and wine involvement and working with stuff and getting stuff to work well for them and establishing different programs and stuff throughout the state. 103 wineries in Missouri. A lot of them are small boutique wineries. A lot of them are enormous. In fact, St. James Winery is one of the biggest wineries in the country. St. James Winery is noted as a I read somewhere a couple years ago that of the 10 biggest wineries in the country, the ones that produce the most, St. James Winery in Missouri was on the top 10 list, and it was only winery not in the state of California on the list. Now, I don't know if that's still up to date or not, but a couple years ago, that was established. So St. James Winery, it is located southwest of Missouri, of St. Louis, southeast of Jefferson City. It's sort of like in a triangle between the two cities down in St. James, Missouri, is the town of St. James, Missouri. It is originally started by Jim and Pat Hoffer, who started winemaking before Prohibition with the dreams of building a winery from the ground up, which they did. They opened the winery. I misread this. They knew about Missouri wines for Prohibition, and Jim and Pat Hoffer came to St. James and opened their winery in 1970. It is a family-owned and operated winery. The first year, St. James Winery produced 8,000 gallons of wine, which is about 3,400 cases, 2.347 gallons per case. So if you want to play along, 2.347 gallons per case, so you can figure it up as I'm giving you these numbers through this. But the those first wineries became legendary year in and year out since 1970. The Velvet Red and Velvet White have been the best sellers, winning hundreds of awards around the country and around the world. The winery has grown, winning more and more awards. It was in 1994, St. James Winery Norton was named Best in Show in International Eastern Wine Competition. In 95, the St. James Winery Saval was named to the top 50 wineries in the world by Bon Appetit magazine. 97 and 98, they won the Governor's Cup for the best wine in Missouri. It's St. James Winery is established. Well, you talk to anyone who's been to wineries in Missouri, and St. James has been usually one of them they go to. Between 1995 and 2000, annual production of St. James Winery went from 10,000 cases a year to 100,000 cases a year. They to continue to increase their vineyard acreage and increase in their cellar. They recently added a twist cap bottling line, a twist off bottling line. They've expanded the warehouse and distribution network. They brag as being one of the most modern and best equipped wineries in the state of Missouri. They in 2006 they were included in the Wine Business Monthly's top 10 hottest small brands in the U.S. and in 2009, they were named the Winery of the Year in Eastern United States by Critics Challenge magazine. It's just a phenomenal winery there in Missouri. Today, they make more than 200,000 cases a year, and their wines are distributed throughout the Midwest and South. The winery plants basically Catawba, Chardonnay, Norton, Concord, Sauval, Vignon, Chamberson, and Rougon grapes. Those are the varieties that they most often are noted for. But St. James Winery, one of the biggest ones. Another one that's very large and a lot of people know about and a lot of people are familiar with is Stonehill Winery. The Stonehill Winery is located in three places, New Florence and in Branson, Missouri, and also in Herman, Missouri. And Herman, probably the best-known one. Herman's about halfway between St. Louis and Jefferson City. Jefferson City is the capital of Missouri. It's right on the Missouri River. Stonehill likes to take credit as the most awarded winery in the Midwest. They brag that they've gotten over 3,400 medals since 1993. The winery was established in 1847. And it has went through a lot of changes, obviously, because of things that happened since then. They bragged to be the nation's second largest winery in the country prior to Prohibition. And after Prohibition, they pretty much had to start from the beginning again. They are the one in Herman overlooks a hill. Overlooks the town of Herman on a hill, the winery. It's a very popular tourist stop. Stonehill Winery, everybody knows Stonehill Winery. Seems like people come into the Florida States all the time. And I have a four-pack carrier set there on the cooler, and they go, "Oh, Stonehill, I've been there." So everybody knows it. Thousands of visitors visit the winery every year, and it's something that just people love. Probably one of the reasons, because it has great big arched underground cellars that that they go on a tour for in, established hundreds of years ago, a couple 170 years ago. The wines themselves are displayed and tasted in a big building, 3,000 square foot building with a tasting room and conservatory overlooking the area around it and all that. Big area for receptions and weddings and everything is held there. They have a vintage restaurant where German food is the specialties along with a bunch of American food. And they host a tremendous amount of stuff throughout the year, including all sorts of concerts and all sorts of things like that, as do most wineries in there. There's just, when you look at a map of Missouri wineries, you see a big cluster of them around the cities of St. Louis and Kansas City, and then south of St. Louis. There's quite a few into the hills. There's only about not quite a dozen, about 10 wineries in the southwest Missouri, down in the Ozark areas and stuff like that. There's not a whole lot of wineries in that area. Most of them you will find, like say, around Kansas City and St. Louis, most of them being in the St. Louis area. They are, there's wine trails that go through. You can rent yourself a bike and take wine trails around Missouri. There's the Herman Wine Trail, the Route du Vin Wine Trail, the Missouri Weinstrasse Trail, the Missouri River Wine Trail, and the Ozark Mountain Wine Trail, all where you can, and the Ozark Mountain Wine Trail is the one on the western part of the Missouri area. A couple of them, particularly the Route du Vin is very popular when it covers a lot of the bigger wineries and stuff. The Herman Trail is another one that has a lot of wineries close. You can rent bicycles and go out on a bike ride to the different wineries that are close to you. So a lot of trails in Missouri, a lot of promotion on that. AVAs, Missouri AVAs. This is something I knew Missouri had a couple AVAs. I didn't realize how many they did have. American Viticulture, the first AVA ever established in the United States, was given to Augusta, Missouri on June 20th, 1980. Seven California districts and one in Oregon had filed applications with the a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, BATF. And the BATF gave the honor of the first one to Augusta, Missouri. It's a 15-square-mile AVA. It is unique in the soil, climate, and wines that come out of there. It is one of the oldest winemaking areas in the country for wines and grapes. First German immigrants found the area, which is just west of St. Louis, and they established the area, and so it was awarded the first AVA. Napa Valley was the second AVA named after the Augusta AVA, and the Napa Valley was awarded its AVA on February 27, 1981. Missouri got there June 20th, 1980, and then Napa, number two, February 27th, 81. So about 8 months later, a little over 8 months later, Napa. But that's not the only AVA in Missouri. There was the Ozark Mountain AVA was established on August 1st, 1986. This is an enormous AVA, 3,500,000 acres. In southern Missouri, which extends from the Ozark areas into Arkansas and northeast Oklahoma, it's so big it's got other AVAs that lie within it, which you can. I've mentioned this before with AVAs. You can have other AVAs within that. The Ozark Mountain AVA includes the Augusta, Herman, and Ozark Highlands AVA. The Ozark Mountain AVA is the sixth largest AVA in the United States. And again, it always comes back to the argument, if it is 3,500,000 acres, how can it be unique with an area that large? But, you know, the ATF does that, BATF. Herman AVA, this is another one I just mentioned here. This is within the Ozark Mountain AVA. The Herman AVA was first recognized on February 27, 1987, and consists of 51,200 acres in the Herman area between St. Louis and Jefferson City, eastern Missouri. German immigrants also settled this area in the 1830s and began planting vineyards And it's now one of the most historic regions, wine regions in the country, actually. You can go there. They still got a big influence of the old stuff around there, and a lot of the things that were popular back then, and showing the history and stuff. Ozark Highlands AVA is the final AVA for Missouri, the fifth one, one, two, three, four, fourth one. Am I right? One, two, three, yeah, fourth one in Missouri. The Ozark Highlands AVA was designated on September 30th, 1987, the same year. These are all rather old AVAs, too. When you start looking at the age of some of the AVAs around this country, Missouri's were established pretty early in the whole scheme of things. Great growing condition of the Ozark Highlands AVA, again, back to the 1870s. This is another rather large one and covers south central Missouri, 11 counties, including the town of St. James, Missouri. It's 1,280,000 acres in that area. So these are the four AVAs in Missouri established, I think, because of the age and the uniqueness of that area is part of the reason why they have been established and are so popular. I mentioned earlier, I was going to talk more about the Missouri Wine and Grape Board. This is something that Missouri is just, I mean, kudos to them. I mean, the thumbs up and the whole bit. It's funded by a 12 cents per gallon tax on wine sales. A gallon of wine is less than half a case. So when you, again, I said 2.375 gallons per case. So 1 gallon, you're looking at, what, 5 bottles. 12 cents per gallon tax on wine sales. This was established back in the 80s. And what they do with this is the marketing and public relations activities with wholesalers, restaurant operators, retailers, and the public. It is to strengthen the interest in the patronage of Missouri's state's grapes, grape juice, and wine industry. The Missouri Wine and Grape Board also from this underwrites the Institute for Continental Climate Viticulture and Enology, the ICCVE, and it works with grape growers and developing grapes suitable for Missouri and Missouri climate. The ICCVE is a phenomenal organization. It works basically out of the University of Missouri, and it offers all sorts of programs, classes, help, anything that you might want with your vineyard. They have... They have been offering what they call tailgate seminars, where throughout the summer you can attend different seminars that they offer that answers all of your questions. If you have any problems about the vineyard, answers your questions about making the wine, answers your questions about any problems you have, and they are available all year long to help with your wine in Missouri. It's a phenomenal group. ICCVE is just part of the whole culture, the whole thing that they have there in Missouri, all part of the Missouri Grape Wine and Grape Board. And it's... works with states around it. If any growers get any wines from states or grapes from states around it, it also works with them and does well with them and pursues stuff there. Another thing that I want to that's not what I wanted to bring up. Let me see. There it is. Another thing I want to bring up, I found this chart, and I did want to share it with you. This is a 2009 wine grape production chart. This is based on total production in tons of grapes from 2009. California, number one, with 6.5 million, over 6.5 million tons. Washington State comes in second with 381,000 tons. New York, 133,000 tons. I thought New York was third and Oregon was higher, but Oregon is not as high as I thought it was. New York, third. Michigan, fourth, 96,000, 96.5. Pennsylvania, next, 64,000. Oregon, 40,200. Virginia, 8,600. Texas, 6,200. Ohio, 5,700. North Carolina, 4,800. Georgia, 4,500. And Missouri falls number 12 on the list at 4,400. So, interesting list, I thought. That's I wanted to share that with everyone. I saw that list and I thought that was quite an interesting list. Let's see, I had another thing I want to pass on about Missouri wines. Well, I can't find it right now, and I'm not gonna sit here and fool around while I try to find it. So I will just move on. I talked to a couple, three wineries, but I do want to tell you about. I talked to Elaine from St. Genevieve Winery. Elaine from St. Genevieve. St. Genevieve Winery is located in, St. Genevieve County, down by St. Genevieve Town. It is located on the south of the city of St. Louis on the Mississippi River. It is a rather small winery. St. Genevieve was established by, let's see, let me click on this here and get to what my page I want. Okay, here we go. St. Genevieve was established by the mother and father of Elaine, whom I talked with back in 1983, Chris and Hope Hoffmeister. And they crafted the wine and wanted with the idea of having a wine that is suitable for everyone's palate and everyone's pocketbook, which you can't argue with that type of approach. Elaine was, when the winery was established, she said, I was 8 years old in 1983, so you can do the math if you want to see how old she is. But Elaine went to University of California at Fresno, Cal State Fresno, which is became one of the premier, if not the premier, wine schools in the country now. UC Davis used to hold that title, but UC Fresno, by many people's accounts, is number one. She went to UC Fresno and got her degree in enology and came back and took over family operations. In the year 2000, her mother passed away, and we're sorry to hear that, Elaine. But her dad is still alive, and he is the one that does just about everything around there that she doesn't do. She has taken over as the winemaker and works in the vineyard, and her dad also does a little bit of everything. She says that there's a couple of people that help him, but basically it's just a very small operation with a number of people. The grapes that they use there are the Norton, Vignol, Concord, Sauval. These are the most all the ones that they use. There are a 20 acres of grapes that they have planted, which is, I ask if it's in the Missouri River bottoms there and what type of soil, and she says, oh, most of it's clay and or clay loam soil, which, you know, believe me, I'm familiar with the Missouri clay. I just... nasty stuff. You start digging down and you hit this old thick clay down in the soil, which is not good for. Well, like we talked to the guy from Mississippi last week, he said the only thing good about the clay is that it makes for a good catfish pond. And so everyone that's ever experienced that Midwest clay understands what he's talking about there. Town of St. Genevieve was founded in 1785. It's one of the oldest towns in this country. And St. Genevieve Winery has been there and right in the town itself. I asked about the flooding just recently in that area there and what's happening with the floods, because they expect, last week, the Missouri River and Mississippi River are supposed to really be cresting high, and we've also seen the things with the flooding. She says a few basements are flooded around town and a few streets, but nothing serious and nothing bad as of yet. So she's the fingers crossed that it will continue to be mild and light, and so that's nothing has affected the area yet. I asked her about shipping, and she said you get a $50 license to ship, and that's all you need. You can ship to any states that are legal then. You can receive wines and all that, but all it takes is a $50 license, which is phenomenal, because some places, if you want to ship to Missouri, $50 license, and you can ship to Missouri. The wines they make, I was asking about that, and she told me a little bit about them. They have a Vidal Blanc and Muscat Canelli blend grown in their vineyards. It's a semi-sweet white wine that they sell for only $9, so they are keeping the prices down. They have a Treminet, semi-sweet white wine made from 100% Treminet, grown right there in Genevieve County. That's $14. It's won a double gold at the Finger Lakes International Competition. A Vignole, $12, made from 100% Vignole grapes, a white, sweet, semi-sweet white. A St. Jimmy, I think it's Jimmy, G-E-M-M-E, $13 semi-dry white wine, which is a Sauval aged in oak and a Vidal Blanc grapes growing together, blended together. And then the Vidal Blanc, a dry white wine made from 100% Vidal. Sauval Blanc, another dry white made from 100% Sauval grapes, aged in Missouri oak barrels. She said she still prefers the Missouri oak over some of the others. I mentioned the Minnesota oak and Michigan oak that people are bragging about, and she says, yeah, they're good. She said, but she still really rather use Missouri oak, which, you know, Missouri girl, you can't blame her. She also mentioned that Texas oak barrels are starting to become very popular and very, very good and being used a lot. The red and pink wines, the Concord, she makes a sweet Concord wine, 100% Concord grapes, $7 for a 750 milliliter. If you all want a Concord wine, there you go. That's a good price for a sweet Concord wine. She also makes a Lady Genevieve, which is a sweet pink wine made from the Catawba grapes. La Rose Rosé, or La Rose Rose, La Rosé Rosé, or however they pronounce it. It is a blushed style wine, a white Zin style. They have one that's called a Bolduc, B-O-L-D-U-C, semi-dry red wine, 40% Norton and 60% Secret. And I don't think Secret is the name of a grape. I think it's just their proprietary usage on that blend. And they have a Beauvais, B-E-A-U-V-A-I-S, Beauvais or Beauvais. It's a dry red wine, fruit forward, no oak. They also make fruit wines. And I asked her about fruit wines. I said, is fruit wines common in Missouri? And she goes, oh, some places make them. She says, it's not like everywhere. I mean, we talked to Michigan and Minnesota, and there's a lot of fruit wines up there from everybody, from what I got from Elaine. It's, you know, wineries do make them. They might throw one or two of them in, but it's not the primary. Most of them is grape wines throughout the state and all that. Her fruit wines, a blackberry, sweet red, maybe the local blackberries, a cherry wine, and it's a blend from cherries from Michigan, semi-sweet red, a blueberry wine made with local blueberries growing right there. a strawberry wine. These are from Sweet Strawberries, reddish pink wine. Strawberry wine's only $11. That sounds interesting to me. Elderberry wine, $14. Sweet dark purple wine made from local elderberries. Cranberries, shipped in from Wisconsin, sweet tart red wine. And Christmas plum, only available in November and December, is a sweet reddish purple wine made from fresh plums. Sounds interesting. Apple wine, she also has, which is made, it's a sweet apple wine made from apple juice from Missouri, from the Missouri Boot Hills. Missouri has a lot of apple groves. I was, grew up with it, and a lot of apples grown in Missouri. They're not real, most of them aren't real, real sweet. They're more of a baking apples than anything. But the apple wine's only $7, and she has a pear wine, a sweet white wine made with fresh pears, and that's $11. So she has a good variety of wines there, a good variety of different wines and different grapes and all that. She says she uses Missouri as much as she can on her wines and on her grapes, and she tries not to she uses a little bit of oak. She doesn't use a lot of oak. More stainless steel than anything else. Missouri grapes. Let me talk about Missouri grapes for a little bit here. Elaine, thank you for your information. I asked her about bud break also, and she says they get bud break in mid-April, and they usually harvest, depending on the grapes, middle of August through September, although the Norton doesn't get ripe and ready to be picked until into middle of October, she said. It really stays on the vine a long time, which is interesting because local Nortons that we have here, we don't keep on the vine nearly that long. But it's warmer, and it's probably the reason why. Missouri grapes. Missouri has adopted different ones from different areas, and they've made their own. Let me go through these quickly here, and then we'll be finished with Missouri this week. The hybrid grape from New York, the Cayuga, C-A-Y-U-G-A, Cayuga. The Cayuga grape is a light-bodied white wine, fruity, citrusy. A lot of it you find in New York, but Missouri also uses it. Chardonnay. Cross between the original Chardonnay grape and the Sauval. The Chardonnay is usually barrel fermented. Gets characteristics of the Chardonnay. Usually dry, full-bodied, that style. The Sauval Blanc, is a French-American hybrid grape. Semi-dry, medium-bodied white wine. Fresh flavors. It takes well to oak, and it's some characteristics of the Chardonnay. Traminette is the offspring, if you will, a hybrid of the Gewürztraminer, made either in a dry, semi-dry to sweet white wine. A lot of characteristics of Gewürz. I've had lots of Gewürz and excellent. I've only had a couple of Traminette, and I was impressed. A Vidal Blanc is another French-American hybrid, semi-sweet dry wine. That little green apple-ish German type taste to it. Vignol. The Vignol's probably used just about everywhere in Missouri. Very, very popular grape. Again, a white one. It's a French-American hybrid, dry to semi-dry. Used in late harvest a lot, make dessert wines and all. It carries a lot of fruit through, a lot of sugars through the harvest and stuff. But can be made in a dry style also. Red Fridays out of Missouri, Catawba. Again, this is another one that was discovered by the Catawba River in North Carolina. You usually hear most of this coming out of New York, but it was actually discovered, a native grape of Missouri discovered in North Carolina. usually pink or rosé, medium-bodied, strawberry-like wine. Chambourcin, another French-American hybrid grape that's grown a lot in Missouri. A lot of wineries use this. It grows very well there, very, very hardy there, medium to dark red in color. Concord, this is another grape that you're so used to hearing on the East Coast and up in New York. It was discovered and propagated up in Concord, Massachusetts, hence its name. It's been referred to as America's original dessert wine. Deep purple color and a lot of fruitiness, candy-like sweetness. Interesting wine. Concord grape, a lot of people love that. Norton, or Cynthiana, is an American grape. It is of the Vitis acetabilis family. It was originally found near Richmond, Virginia. Very rigorous, hardy grape. Now Missouri's official grape, like I just told you earlier. Full-bodied red wine with a lot of berries and spicy overtones. It is genetically the same as the Norton, although I've had people tell me, no, they're not. They're different. So, you know, it just depends on who you talk to a lot. With genetics out there, they can probably do an exact check and see, but I don't think I've ever seen or heard anyone who has. The Norton grape is grown in a lot of places. There's a grower here in Florida that's doing the Norton, and you find it all over the eastern part of the country. And then the last one, the St. Vincent. This is a hybrid. Makes some very nice reds in Nouveau style, not real heavy, strong, powerful, but a wine that is typically dry and with maybe perceptions of sweetness. Something like a Beaujolais Nouveau gives you that perception of sweetness or fruitiness and all that. And the St. Vincent does that too. Those are Missouri grapes. And that is Missouri. Interesting state, a whole lot of stuff. Oh, before I forget it too, and I told her I would, and I really have to do this because if I don't, I will be lacking in my, if I can find it here. Yes, there we go. St. Genevieve Winery. I mentioned to Elaine that I would give the address and information and everything on the winery, and so I really have to do that. St. Genevieve Winery is located right on the Mississippi River, 1 hour south of St. Louis. St. Genevieve Winery has a historic downtown area that you can visit. They're open every day from 11 till 5 and open at 10 a.m. on Saturdays. And that's through the summer. If you go down there in the winter, their hours are shortened because it's so bloody cold in Missouri. Their address, 245 Merchant Street, St. Genevieve, Missouri. The phone number, if you want to get a hold of them and order any of those wines, see if they can ship them to you. They are great wines. I'll tell you, those fruit wines sound interesting. Call them at 573-883-2800. Or at 800-398-1298. That's 800-398-1298. And their website is STGEN. Winery. Whoa, that was loud.
Yeah, hard.
St. Gen Winery, STGEN Winery at hotmail.com. And get a hold of them if you want to order anything and all that. I'm sure they will be more than happy to ship to you. And that's it. That's Missouri.
Very good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a interesting state and your home state. I wonder if you go to your if you go to your hometown there, if it says home of Ron of Florida State's Winery slash All About Wine Show.
That's an idea. I really should have put up a sign like that.
I think they should.
I think so too.
Due to our popularity.
And, yes.
That's really cool.
That would be cool.
A lot of good information there, and very, very interesting. So, I hope everyone enjoyed that, and we'll continue on with us next week as we take on, if we're going in order, I believe it is Montana.
Is that the next one? I don't know. You have a hard time with these states.
Yes, I do. Yes. As we continue, yeah, that's what I looked it up. It was Missouri and then Montana. So we have Big Sky Country coming up next week, and we'll see how that goes there. And yes, I have been across there, and it's a beautiful state too. And I've been across Missouri
too.
I've
been there. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yep, it's interesting. We're talking about these, and we've been there. If you would, let's see. Oh, we're into overtime officially. So this is the OT part of the show. If you'd like to contact the show, if you're listening to us on archives, you can call us any Thursday that we're on, from 7 p.m. Eastern time until 8 p.m. Get on the show. You don't necessarily have to be listening to us on the internet on our Blog Talk Radio show. Just call us, and you can also listen to us on the phone. And you don't have to raise your hand to speak to us. You can just be on the phone like I did a couple of months ago. I guess I was listening on the way home, and I could hear the show. So just call that number, 646-727-3235, and you will start listening to the show when it is on the air. And if you would like to talk to us anytime during that, while you're listening to us on the phone, just press the 1 button on your phone, and that will signify to us that you have something you want to say, and it needs to be about wine. It doesn't necessarily have to be about the state that we are covering or the topic. Just make sure it's about wine. Really appreciate that. And some people have turned it into something else, and unfortunately we've had phone problems with them and lost the call mysteriously. But anyway... definitely give us a call, and I know we'd love to hear from you even when we're not on the air. Email at the email address is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Email that address. That goes to Ron, and just let him know you've been listening to us, and we'd love to hear from you, and also your comments if you have any comments, suggestions, or even questions, and we'll put those on the air as well. And we'd love to hear from you. Ron, thank you as always. Let me give out your information because you are with the Florida Estates Winery, and that is Florida's premier winery with world-class wines. And I have tasted sampled them as well, and I generally keep a one or about two. Well, I still have some of the port, actually. Yeah, I still have port and a little bit of spice left.
I thought you were out of spice.
Oh, yeah. Because I have a new wine holder, and so it's at the angle, that's supposed to be and everything. So,
right.
The cork is still, doing good, and I need to finish that and go pick up some fresh ones. But anyway, let's see. So Florida Estates Winery, where Ron is hailing from, is located at 25241 State Road 52. That's 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is 4 miles west of Interstate 75, off of Exit 285. If you're north or south, just go to Exit 285, and that is State Road 52. Go west about 4 miles, and you'll see the signs there for Florida Estates Winery. You can also get to State Road 52 from the Suncoast Parkway, in which case you would head east a little ways from the Suncoast Parkway, or from U.S. 41, U.S. 19. There's so many different ways in this area. If you're like over on the other side of Tampa or in this area, the Tampa Bay area, like if you're in Newport Richey in places around there, Hudson, Holiday, you can get to State Road 52, and you probably already know where it's at. But get to State Road 52, head east from those directions, and about 4 miles from 75, you'll see the signs. 25241 State Road 52 is Florida Estates Winery, or call direct at area code 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. Or visit the winery on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Floridaestateswines.com. And they're open daily, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., 7 days a week, except the major holidays. And I think there's only... I don't know, just a few, but not bad at all. So 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Also coming up in a couple of weeks, I believe, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, you have a Wine Fest, May 14th.
Yes.
Yeah, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. That's always fun. And make plans for that as well, May 14th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery. And let's see, 1 week after that, you have a wine class, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. That is on May 21st. So write all these down, put it in your phone, whatever you have to do. remember those dates, and we'll tell you again about them next Thursday. So by this time, you're listening to us on the archives, and you know, everything's good. So, but definitely, you know, connect with us and let us know you're out there. I mean, we know you're out there, but we just like to know what you're thinking. So, about wine in the show. Anyway,
yep. Good.
We will see everybody next week for Montana, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's all about wine. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Have a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh,